Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. What a week it's been in counting votes. Some have been counted 10 or 12 times, it appears, maybe even more. And the commissioner for the Federal Elections Commission says there's a great deal of fraud, which means there's no way that they can verify a lot of these votes, which then means the last resort is the House of Representatives, and each state gets only one vote. So if that's the case, Trump doesn't have to move. But they have hundreds of thousands of fake ballots with just Joe Biden marked on them. And you know that a voter in election is not just going to vote for one person. So that's why we're in a battle for truth or lies of truth, deceit, and truthfulness. Let's come to Jeremiah 10. Now, speaking of all the customs of the people and their false gods and everything, here, Jeremiah 10, and let's pick it up in verse 7. Here we get the contrast all the way through, but we need to know this, that every word of God is true, and virtually every place that they have fiddled with it is known. As a matter of fact, the 34 places in the Old Testament where they changed YHVH to Adonah, the Hebrew scribes marked the change. So, that's how we, when there's something in dispute, we go to the Word of God, and then we look up the record of the fake translators. See? I'll have to bring another one on that because the latest New Revised Standard Version has changed the singular to plural in certain instances, which then is a Catholic doctrine. If you're in the group, you're okay. If you're not in the group, you're not okay, but God deals with individuals. Then the group after the individuals. It doesn't start with the group first, but individuals, and then the group. Okay? Jeremiah 10, verse 6. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. He's also the God of truth, the God of love, the God of grace, and all of those things. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For fear belongs to you, because among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. See? Now, what all of this ups and downs and ins and outs and crime and riots and everything is going to prove, human beings cannot live correctly without God and His Word. It's impossible. Regardless of how good a person may think he is or she thinks he is, you can't get along without God. And that's what's the difference in the two parties right now, as far as believing in God, that He is God, not necessarily obeying the way that they should, versus those who have God-haters, those who despise people going to church. And that's the real friction here, between those who want the nation to succeed and those who want to destroy it and put it into a one-world government. And the only man to slow that down is Donald Trump. So some finicky women say, well, we don't like the way he tweets. Well, look at what he does. See? Now that's a biblical principle, right? You will know them by their works, right? What does God say he's going to judge us all by? Our works. See? So though they're out there in the world, we still have to live in the world. And our part in the politics is very little indeed. However, we do need the door open to preach the gospel. Because if the crew that's on the Democrat Party get in, and they are so corrupt, just give you one example. Guess who audited Hillary Billary and the Clinton Foundation and found nothing? The brother of Comey, the FBI, former director. The incestuousness of the sins of the Democrats is so overwhelming that it is almost beyond belief. Okay? So I recommend you do this. Go to Fox Business News and watch Lou Dobbs, because it's going to play all weekend at various times. And you watch Sidney Powell. She reminds me of Deborah in the Bible. She has vowed to not let one of them get away with anything, and they have found so much it's incredible. So we don't know what's going to happen. But might be a good idea if every one of us would take a day this week and fast so that we can ask God to intervene so that things will work out for the betterment of the church. And if not, then to strengthen us with strength in His Spirit, because the days are going to get really, really rough. Okay? Now, verse 8. But they are altogether foolish and animal-like. The tree is a doctrine of vanity. Now that's referring to the Christmas tree. Okay? But the stock of their tree is vanity. Silver beaten into plates is brought forth from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. And the work of the workmen and the hands of the goldsmith, violet and purple, are their clothing, and they are all the work of skilled ones. Oh, yes, let's make it beautiful. Yes. But it's still deaf and dumb and stupid and can do nothing but appeal to people's vanity and their deceitful minds. Now this is what we need to understand. When things get bad, always remember this. But the Lord is the true God, the living God, the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to stand His fury. That's a whole projection we find in the book of Revelation, correct? Yes, indeed. Thus you shall say to them, the gods who have not made the heavens and the earth, they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens, and all who make and prosper lies. Okay? He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by His judgment. When He utters His voice, there is none. It is a noise of a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning with rain and brings forth wind out of His treasure. Okay? Every person, man, woman, is stupid for lack of knowledge. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have after your names. Someone told me, we were watching the television, and told me, did you know that that person has 18 PhDs? And I thought to myself, it doesn't matter how many PhDs you have, but if you know PhD stands for piled higher and deeper, then he's got a problem. Every refiner shall is put to shame by the graven image, for his molten image is a lie, and there is no breath in it. They are all the work of delusion. See, what's the worst kind of lie? What's the worst kind of lie you can have? That you lie to yourself and you believe your own lies. Okay? That's the worst kind. Now, if you tell a lie to someone, you know what you told them. But if you're so filled with lies, there's going to come a time you won't remember it. You're going to get caught. I wonder if that's just around the corner. Let's hope so. Now let's come to Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Jeremiah 9 is pretty good. Okay. Now here's probably how we feel that's all going on in the world. Verse 1. Jeremiah 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Because he knew what was going to happen. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for traveling men, that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. You feel that way? Sometimes, so bad around, you want to get out and away from it? Well, Jack, he's got a good way to do it. He does it every week. He gets on his motorcycle himself, and he talks to God. So does Kip over there. And they have a good time driving and talking with God and looking at his creation, and they're away from it all for that time. Okay? Now notice, they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth on the earth. Yes, how many times you hear that? Well, what is the truth? And you get three or four versions, maybe half a dozen before you get to it. Remember, everyone said with the Russian hoax, ah, he's a Russian agent, he's a Russian traitor. And then you get Brennan and Clapper behind closed doors for testimony. If you don't tell the truth, it's perjury. Did you find anything about Trump and the Russians? No, we didn't find a thing. Then they go out and say, well, he's a Russian agent. See? Perfect description right here. Now notice, for they go from evil to evil. They do not know me, says the Lord. Now that's how they're going to pile on all of these things again. Evil to evil. Everyone beware of his neighbor and do not trust any brother, for every brother will supplant his neighbor and will walk with slander. And everyone will deceive his neighbor. Now I had a deception upon me for 42 years. When we were building our house, 1978, there's a house right next to us, and there was a man who took care of his mother. And he said, can you give me a little easement here on your property? Because the driveway was right on the property line. so that my mother can back out her little Volkswagen station wagon. He said, I'll plant petunias in it, because he had petunias there. Okay? I said, okay. You know, try to be a good neighbor. I had a big backyard. You know, I could afford a foot. No problem. So what did he plant? Italian cypress. Those that grow up like that. And there's six of them there. One of them died. So I had my attorney write a letter and say, we got to take down all of them. He said he'd take down the dead one, which they did yesterday. Okay. But that was a lie to ask for petunias and plant Italian cypress. Okay. And will not speak truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They worry themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. You have to say that. Anyone who doesn't believe in God, your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Anyone who thinks that the holidays of this world are of God, you're dwelling in deceit. Anyone who thinks they can get along without God, you're dwelling in deceit. Because you're going to come to a time in your life that you are not going to be able to solve your problems and you won't know what to do. Maybe at that point, you'll call out to God, right? But this reminds me here of how the Democrats are, plus a lot of other people. Democrats, witches, the alphabet, sexual people. I just give them the whole alphabet because they come up with a new gender all the time. Okay.
Rhinos.
Rhinos, different ones. Okay. Sunday keepers, they're dwelling in deceit. Think of that. Now, question. How do you suppose that the light bringer, the morning star, deceived a third of the angels into rebelling against God? Little by little by little by little. And pretty soon, they believed their lie. And pretty soon, they figured, well, follow me, and we'll take over God who's sitting in the Most High. Well, that didn't work out too good, did it? Okay? They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They worry themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, you refuse to know me. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For what else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a slaughtering arrow. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in ambush. Shall I not visit them for these things? See, now remember, Jeremiah 18, God is judging all nations all the time, right? See? What does he say? What does he say about human hair? God knows everything about you that not even one hair he's not aware of. Whether you have much or not so much. Whether it's long, whether it's short. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Now that's something. Come down here to verse 12. Who is the wise man who may understand this? Now, are we going to be wise and understand the truth? See? And this is just not attack against them because they're doing wrong. It is the word of God defining what that wrong is and the consequences of it. See? There are always consequences for it. See? Just like those who take drugs. Wow, the first time they take it is fantastic. And once they are hooked, Now, you watch NatGeo Drugs, Inc. and see some of those pitiful people that are addicts and the evil people that sell them those drugs. And if Trump does not get to be president, you're going to see an avalanche of drugs and drug addiction and crime that you will never believe. Which means what? We better be strong in the Lord, right? Is that true? Okay. Verse 12. Who is the wise man who may understand this? Who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord is spoken, that he may declare it? Okay? That's us. Every minister, every elder in a church of God, through the word of God, he's spoken to you to tell it. Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness? Look what they've done in California. So that none passes through. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, there it is, right there. Let me ask you a question. Does your body operate according to certain laws? Automatically, right? You breathe, and you can't breathe too fast, and you can't breathe too slow. And you can't have your lungs filled with all kinds of things, right? Okay? Your heart beats at a certain rate. Your temperature is a certain amount. Okay? Everything about you is governed by the law of God's creation for every single individual part and molecule in our bodies. Likewise, in the whole universe. See? And you can't defy it. You may get away with it for a while. But sooner or later, it's not going to be the police who are going to catch you. It's going to be God. Forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, and have not walked in it. But they have walked after the imagination of their own heart. That's what we're seeing. A grab for power by any means. Lie, cheat, steal, misrepresent. Flood the ballot areas with thousands of fake ballots only marked out for Joe Biden. That's incredible. And after Balaam, which their fathers have taught them. Let's go on. Let's come to Psalm 111. You know, you hear Protestant talk about a renewal. Well, listen, any dear Protestant friend out there, a renewal better begin with a return to God and His laws and His commandments. And stop deceiving and lying to yourself that the law has been done away. Hasn't been done away. Psalm 111. Here's how you get it straightened out. Here's what you do. That's why there needs to be a coming to God on your knees and on our knees to ask God to forgive us our sins and to spare the nation. Because it won't take any more than about 3 years that we're like Venezuela. So here's the answer right here, verse 1. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. He doesn't want to be flattered any longer like the Protestants do. They flatter God. With my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all those who have pleasure in them. That's why we need Bible study every day. See? Now look, think of this. What is God giving to us? What is He offering? He's offering us what? Eternal life. Now think on that. To live forever. See? And what does he really require of us that is a hard thing to do? Nothing. Everything he requires of us is easy to do. And we shouldn't make excuses and lies to try and get around it. See? And he loves us and wants us to love him. See? That's what God wants. So whatever sin or hang up that anybody has about anything, go repent of it, get rid of it, quit hanging on to it, and come to God the way you ought to. Just like he says here. Verse 3. His work is glory and majesty. His righteousness endures forever. He has made a memorial for his wondrous works. The Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. How many times have you heard me on church at home? The Sabbath test. Keep the Sabbath every week for a month and study about the Sabbath every day. And keep the Sabbath at home, and you should be able to know why you ought to keep the Sabbath. See? It's a memorial of everything that God has made. And think about all the people he has made. See? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food for those who fear him, he will always be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works. And if you don't believe that, go out and start looking at the sun. You can't look at it for more than a few seconds. Right? And that's 93 million miles away. Right? Okay. In giving them the inheritance of the nations, the works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure, sure. It's like the law of gravity. It's always sure. It's always there. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. Okay? Once again, Protestant friends out there, Protestant ministers out there, tell me what's wrong with the commandments of God. You can't, because they're truth and righteousness. Now, let's go on. Let's see what the nation is like today. Let's come to Isaiah 59. Now, a lot of us get disturbed when all of these things come along and you get depressed. I imagine there are a lot of depressed people with the way that the election has gone, even in the church. Isaiah 59. And just know this. As we go through this, think how many times this has happened in human history, in human life. See? And we're one little spot in a long line of history. And sooner or later, someone else is going to replace us and go on a little further, right? Okay. Verse 1, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That's why you have to pray to God. He will hear. But here's the problem. Here's when he won't. But your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See? Why is that? Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice. Now then, little sidebar. When Biden says, let's unify, That means you believe him. Doesn't mean he's going to sit down and compromise with you. You believe him. And that's the way it is with the fascist social democrats today. Okay? Nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. More and more and more of it. How many have seen all the drugs they've been confiscating here lately? You seen that on television? If you don't watch Fox News, if you watch ABC, CBN, NBC, MSNBC, and if you believe the New York Times and the Washington Post, and even your local news, you miss it. Have any of you seen any of the pictures of all the drugs? Tons and tons and tons of drugs? Well, watch Fox Business News. Okay? That'll tell you. They found tons of cocaine and enough fentanyl in one bust to kill every American. Okay. So you think what's going to happen if that venture's not complete? Think about it. Okay. Let's go on. Verse 8. You can read the verses in between. They have not known the way of peace. There is no justice in their ways. They have made crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. See, righteousness and goodness by people doesn't come automatic. They have to choose to do it. See? They have to choose to do it. Like Paul said, even with the Gentiles that weren't given the law, if they do the things contained in the law, they're a law unto themselves, right? Okay. Why? Because God made the laws and commandments for human beings. That's why. For they're good. Behold, we wait for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. We grope along the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. Among those who are strong, we are like dead men. We roar like bears and mourn grievously like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. We look for salvation, yet it is far off. Why? Why? Okay? Look at all that's happening. Have you heard what's happened in Minneapolis? They defunded the police and want to get rid of the police department. Now the crime has doubled, on the way to tripled. So what are they doing? They cut the budget so they could have nice little social things. But now the crime is so out of hand, what do they have to do? They have to call the police from neighboring towns to come in and police their town. See? All lies. All hateful. See? Every bit of it. It's what it says right here, verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. They know them. And rebellion and denial of the Lord and turning away from our God, talking perversity and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart words of falsehood. That's what they do. And justice is driven back, and righteousness stands far off, for truth has fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yea, truth fails. Never at any time has this been so true. Okay? And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Other people hit, whoa, what are you doing that? And the Lord saw, and it was evil in his eyes, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him. His righteousness sustained him. In other words, going to reach a point, go so far, the only thing you can do is God has to intervene, and that's the return of Christ, right? And end it. But first, because of the wicked and because of Satan and because of the demons, he's got to nearly destroy everything. That's how bad it is. See? Okay. Now, let's come here to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Now, this is why every teenager, every person needs to go continuously through the book of Proverbs. The only way you're going to know right from wrong, good from evil, and it puts it in very simple, easy to understand terms, okay? Proverbs 12 and verse 5. Here's the contrast. The thoughts of the righteous are right. The counsels of the wicked are deceit. Quite a thing, isn't it? You know, the question is today, how many people even know what truth is? I mean, in the world, think about it. We know what it is, okay? The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall be delivered, okay? Come here to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. A talebearer goes about revealing secrets, therefore, do not mix with them who flatter with their lips. Okay, that's all a part of the deceit that they have. Okay, 26, 22. 26, 22. Okay. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the inner part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a piece of pottery broken with silver dross. Okay? Now, verse 24. He who hates and disguises it with his lips stores up deceit within himself. When he makes his voice gracious, do not believe him. Boy, that's sure true, politicians, right? For seven hateful things are in his heart. He whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be revealed before the congregation. May that be true in the next couple of weeks. May that be true. Yes, indeed. All right. One more verse. Come to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Verse 12. It's talking about these who are against God, who are dedicated to evil. Verse 12, but these, as irrational brute beasts, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheme those things of which they are ignorant, and shall be utterly destroyed in their own corruption. May that also happen this week. They are bringing upon themselves the reward of unrighteousness, while finding pleasure in satisfying their lustful desires day by day. These are stains and blemishes reveling in their own deception while feasting together with you. Now, I imagine that describes the success they feel in stealing this election. May it all be revealed so that the churches of God can have a little more peace. Let's take a break, and we'll be back in 20 minutes. Welcome back, everyone. We'll continue on. So let's go to John, the 8th chapter. This is really quite a tremendous chapter. Now, I want you to know this. In the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, there is more about truth and love than any of the other books that is being stated, truth and love. So let's come here to John, the 8th chapter, John 8. Now remember, the temple was where everything that God had was supposed to be on the earth, and the Jews claimed that. They claimed Abraham, okay? So this is very instructive. Verse 29, John 8. He who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, because I always do the things that please him. Now there's a whole sermon in itself, see. Do we do the things that please God? Well, if God is with us, that's what we should do, right? Yes. As he spoke these things, many believed in him. Okay. Now, there are a lot of Protestants, millions who say, we believe in Jesus. All right. Let's see what you need to do. Verse 31, therefore Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, you must choose, you must do. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. So reverse that. If you don't continue in his word, you are not his disciple, regardless of what you profess, right? See? Profession is not enough. Action with truth is what God desires. So, none of the Protestants can have a good understanding of the Word of God because they keep Sunday and the holidays of this world, and many of them say the law has been done away. All right? Remember, Jesus was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, and he gave the Ten Commandments. So if you continue in his word, see how much that includes? That includes everything. Okay. Verse 31, therefore Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Sin, tradition, teachings of men, and most importantly, Satan, the devil. Come down here to verse 38. I speak the things that I've seen from my Father, and you do the things you have seen from your Father. Now, this really gets pretty tough right here. But this is where it is. This is the battle. They answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. What did John the Baptist tell the Pharisees when they said we had Abraham for our father? He said, God is able to raise up children from these stones. Continuing, Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And Abraham was righteous. we could say, by our standard, super righteous, right? Okay. Now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you. That day is going to come with us too again. Which I have heard from God, Abraham did not do this. Now notice verse 41. So I want to ask you a question. Whose works are you really doing? Just because it's done in the name of Christ, if it's not according to truth, it's not what Christ wants. Because you must have both sides of the equation. What he has said, and you choose to do it in truth. You need both. You are doing the works of your father. Then he said to him, we've not been born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. So they understood how Jesus came about from their point of view. Therefore, Jesus said to them, if, there it is again, if God were your father, you would love me, because I proceeded forth and came from God. For I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Now notice what he says next, because this is very important. All right? Anyone out there who thinks he or she is a Christian, listen to this verse. Remember, what did Jesus say? If you're my disciples, you will keep my word, and the truth, which is his word, will set you free. Now, this is what we need today in our lives personally, faced with so many lies and deceptions and so many controversies going on. Verse 43. Why don't you understand my speech? You could put it that way. Why don't you understand the word of God? Because you cannot bear to hear my word. Now, isn't that what the Protestants do when they say that the law is done away? Harsh, mean. You can't bear to hear it. Verse 44. So we need to all ask ourselves the question, how much intrusion into our lives has Satan been able to make in these times of trouble, yet pleasure and plenty? See? Who are you really serving? Remember, they were all keeping the Sabbath, right? They were a temple of God, right? They were the descendants of Abraham, right? Yes, they were. But their hearts were far from God. See? Where were they? Where does Satan like to come? Right smack in the middle of it, right? You are of your father, the devil, the high priest, the Levites, those who run the temple. And the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self. For he is a liar and the father of it. So think about this. With all the lies that have been going on, where do they come from? Who inspires those? Who propagates those? Look at the election. And if it was planned with George Soros' group and others like that, going down the line, all the key players down the line knew Biden was going to win. That's why he didn't campaign. And guess who the next president will be shortly after him? Kamala Harris. Okay? Think on that. Is that their plan? If that happens, you better put on the full armor of God, because it's coming. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? All right, let's ask this question again. Since the word of God is true, which we know, why don't you believe it? Try this one scripture on for size. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, the devil, and the devil said, cause this stone to become bread. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? But by every word that comes out of the mouth of whom? God. All right? Question. Do we do this? Question. Do the people in the churches of God, do you do that? Question. To anybody else who's not in the church of God, do you believe that is true, and why won't you do it? Doesn't matter what your excuse is, why won't you do it? Because it didn't matter that they were the offspring of Abraham. That makes no difference if they're living in sin. Don't think about what you're doing. Think about the times we are living in. Think about how it could get so much horribly worse. And then where will you be if you're not on God's side? Verse 47, the one who is of God hears the words of God. Do you hear and obey? For this reason, you do not hear because you're not of God. So go ahead and check out the whole book of John. Look at all the truth there. Let's come back to Psalm 25. And let's put this in practice. Here are New Testament teachings in the book of Psalms. And remember, when the apostles started, there was no New Testament. They had yet to write it. Okay? What did they have? They had only what we call the Old Testament. And many of the things that they taught were straight right out of the Psalms. Psalm 25. And remember, just of Jesus alone, there are 356 prophetic statements concerning Jesus in the Old Testament. Probably more than that if we would take it out to its ultimate thing, see. Okay, Psalm 25. Now this talks about our relationship with God. And we need to always ask ourselves the question, what kind of relationship do I have with God? Do I pray? Do I study? Do I trust God? Do I think on His word? Do I live by His word? Do I believe His word? Do you correct yourself when you find yourself sinning? Do you repent when you sin? All of those are part of living as a true Christian. And God has given that to us. Okay? Psalm 25 and verse 1. To you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now the next verse ties in with the sermon I gave last week. Oh my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none, every one of us, everyone who are of God, let none who wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Now here's how we grow. Here's how we study. Here's how we pray, right here, this next verse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Now this is what we need to concentrate on with the treacherous days that are coming ahead, because they're going to be bad. And if you are not close to God, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God to give you the strength to not be overwhelmed emotionally and totally despondent because of the things that happen, here's what you need to do. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Okay. Now notice, verse 4, teach me your paths. Here, teach me. That's why we have the Bible. What was the main thing that Jesus was called? Teacher. Right? Yes. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to your loving kindness. Remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. What does God say about forgiving sin? When you repent, he'll remove it. See? Some people store up anger. You can't store up anger and think that you're going to be doing the will of God. It isn't going to work. Forget it. Now, first time I heard this, I questioned it, which was this, where it says, forgive those who sin against you. Okay? All right. This person told me, or asked the question, I forget how it came about, either way. Okay? What if you have sinned against someone, or someone has sinned against you, and you haven't forgiven them, either way, and they're dead? What is your responsibility before God? You are to forgive them because you carry it in your mind, and it shouldn't be there, even though they're dead. So you have to forgive them. See? Now, I know people who've done that, and that's lifted a big weight off their shoulders or off their conscience. Okay? Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. Now notice how many times teach in the way, and we'll see in truth as well. The meek he will guide in judgment. You want God to lead you and help you in what you do and what you think and what you set your mind to do? That's what you do. The meek he will teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. That one verse right there, verse 10, says it all. See? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now we are in the new covenant through Jesus Christ. Okay? For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. See, look at that. Look at that. Repenting of his sins. Yet, he was what? Striving to be righteous, right? Striving to keep the word of God. What man is he who fears the Lord? If you do, notice what God will do. He will teach him. There it is again. Teach him. Teach me. In the way that he shall choose. My soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. Now notice verse 14. The secret of the Lord What's the secret of the Lord? His plan, His spirit, His truth. Is with those who fear Him, He will show them His covenant. So that's quite a thing. Okay. So when we're looking at all of these difficult things, you know, don't get mad at your television and take your hammer and throw at it just because there's something on it you don't like. It'll never reach the person on the other side. Okay? Come over here to Psalm 26. Another Psalm of David. Now, David was a man of great extremes, great love, great ability, yet great humility. And he was fighting almost every day of his life. After he got the enemies all at peace with him, then sin in his own household and his own sins caused the problems. And he had more fights with his own family and all of his administration after the sin of Bathsheba. His life was miserable. See? But notice, he still stuck with God. Okay? Verse 1, Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Oh, this is what God does all the time. Okay, hold your place right here, and let's come to the New Testament. Let's see something very interesting. Let's see how it is that all human beings are before God. See? Now, God gives us choices. What we need to do, do we choose truth? Do we choose righteousness? Or do we choose sin? Okay? And remember, God knows everything about anyone at any time. All he has to do is try the reins and the heart, and he knows precisely. Okay? Verse 12, Hebrews 4. For the word of God is living. And that's what Jesus said. The words I speak to you, they are truth and they are life. Okay? Living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both the soul and spirit and of both the joints and marrow, and is able, has the power to discern the thoughts and intent of the heart. Now, that's quite a thing. This is why we need the Word of God always. How many times have you heard me say, what do we need? The truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, right? Because that's what will set us free. Okay? Now, notice verse 13. For any of you who think you can get away with something, read this. For there is not a created thing, from the smallest to the greatest, that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and laid bare before his eyes. The eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now think about that. Everyone's going to give an account. And what is God going to judge? He says he's going to judge the secrets of the heart. That's why there's repentance every day. Because conversion of the mind is a process, and it takes a whole life long to do so. That's why he's given grace for forgiveness, that we can come to him, as he says here in just a minute. Okay? Having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses of the flesh, the pull of the law of sin and death, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the heart, the covetousness and things like that, that are there within our own nature, but we can overcome all of that with God's Spirit as we yield to Him. But one who is tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptation. Now, there are people who say, Jesus could not have sinned. No, it was possible that He could have. And He had to have the law of sin and death in Him, which He got from Mary, His mother. So He had all the pulls of the flesh. How can He be a sacrifice for the sins of every human being in the world if that weren't so? Tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptation, yet He was without sin. So think of that. Therefore, let us come with boldness to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay? Quite a thing, isn't it? Huh? Yes. Just sitting here thinking, wonder what it's going to be like in the resurrection when some of these lying politicians are resurrected. And these lying priests and evangelists and so forth are resurrected. They say, Lord, I'm here. Oh, I'm still flesh. What happened? Well, you didn't qualify for the first resurrection. But I had mercy on you to raise you and give you an opportunity. What's that? Stick around. You'll find out. Came back to Psalm 26. Psalm 26 and verse 3. Again, we're dealing with truth versus lies. Okay? Honesty versus deceit. Verse 3. Your loving kindness is before me, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with deceitful men, neither will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. Now, you hate what they do. God will take care of them. I wash my hands in innocency, so shall I go about your altar, O Lord, that I may cry out with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. And that's what we need to do. Be thankful every day, and we got Thanksgiving coming up. Okay. But certain governors think you shouldn't have any more than 10, and you got to eat with a mask on. You know, lift it carefully when you put the potatoes and gravy in. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the dwelling place of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So let's go on and see some other things here. Let's come to Psalm 101. Look at how many things there are in the Psalms. Okay. Psalm 101, let's start in verse 1. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praise. I will behave myself wisely in a blameless way. Now, what does this show us? This is called self-control. And what is self-control? One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? You go read Galatians 5:22. Self-control. The King James says temperance, but that's not correct. Self-control. In other words, you use God's Spirit, you use your mind, you use God's Word, and you have self-control to do what is right. See? Another way to look at it is, when you're doing this, you're wanting to become single-minded or single-purposed. Remember what James wrote about those who are double-minded? Woe to those who are double-minded. You're unstable as water, driven by the wind. Okay? We can't have, as some people do, one foot in the world and one foot in the church, so that if the world likes them, they can be together with them. And they, if they have friends in the church, they can be with them. You can't do it. You must be single-minded. See? Single-purposed. I've hated the works of those who turn aside, verse 3. It shall not cleave to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know no evil thing, because he's going to repent of it, get rid of it, not indulge in it, whatever. See? Now, think about this. A temptation will come along that sounds really, really good to you. And so you roll it over into your mind, and you think, well, this is not against the law of God. Okay. You don't ask yourself, is it the right thing to do? Or should I do it? See? Because there are some things that just shouldn't be. Like Paul wrote, he said, all lawful things are lawful to do, but not all lawful things are expedient. See? So think about that. Perverse heart will be far from me. I will know no evil things. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, in secret I will cut him off. Now that's quite a thing. God is the one who does that, see? That's why Hebrews 4 is so important. Everything that we are before God, we are naked and laid bare. Now laid bare can also mean this. You are cut down the middle from head down through the rest of your body, and your two parts are split apart. Okay? Laid bare. Every piece of your guts and blood and gore, all there. Everything in your mind, God knows. Right? Okay? So we don't do those things. So God says, my eyes will be upon the faithful of the land, so that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way, he shall serve me. Okay? He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. God is going to take care of them all. He who tells lies shall not remain in my sight. Okay? Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, even that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Well, the truth is, they won't be there. Okay? Now, let's come to Psalm 43. Now, if all of this we've covered today helps you draw closer to God and you to do what you know you need to do, that's why we do it, see? This is why we have the Sabbath. Psalm 43, and we turn to God. We let God take care of the problems for us. We have to do our part, but God has to intervene to do his part, see? So here's Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, plead my case against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Psalm 43, verse 2. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Now, there are times you may think God has cast you off, but he hasn't. He's let you feel cast off so that you'll draw close to him, because you have some things to work out. Okay? Why do I go mourning under the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your tabernacle. Okay? That's quite a thing. All right? Now let's come back here to Colossians, the third chapter. Let's see something important. Now, this is talking about instructions to those who are servants or slaves. But let's look at it from the point of view that we are servants or slaves of God. Okay? Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey your fleshly masters. So, we're servants of God. We have to obey God, right? Okay. In all things, not with eye service as pleasing men, but with singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. You could also say singleness of mind. Fearing God. All right? So let's go back to John 17 and see the prayer of Jesus. And actually, when you go through the whole thing word for word very carefully in John 17, it is an outline of the whole plan of God. Okay? And let's see what Jesus is doing. Okay? And he's praying for us. And he's our Savior. He's our high priest. He's at the right hand of God, right? Okay. So let's come to verse 9. I'm praying for them, that is, the disciples. And that applies to us because we're also disciples. John 17 and verse 9. I'm not praying for the world. That time will come. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now that applies to us as well, right? Who is the one who draws us? The Father. Who is the one who brings us to the Father? Christ. So they work together. See? So we belong to the Father. Are we going to be the children of the Father? Yes, indeed. So we're God the Father's. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name. See, that's us today, all Christians down through time, true Christians. Those whom you have given me, so that they may be one, even as we are one. Now think about that. That's the whole goal, to be one with God. And that's what we need to desire and want. That's the whole substance of why we're here. See? When I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I protected those you have given me, and not one of them has perished except the son of perdition, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now notice, what Christ wants for us and with us, all of us. So when you're confronted with all of these conflicts in the world, all of these lies flying around everywhere, all of the fake this, that, and the other thing, think about this as the goal right here. But I am coming to you, and these things I'm speaking while yet in the world, so that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I've given them your words. Do we have the words of God? Yes, written down. Right there. You have a smartphone? You can carry it with you wherever you go. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world. Sometimes we wish so, but God isn't going to do that. But that you would keep them from the evil one, Satan the devil. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Sanctify, that is. Make them holy in your truth. Your word is the truth. So he says, going to send them in the world. Okay, down to verse 20. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. How did you come to the knowledge of God? By someone who was preaching the word of God, and you yielded to God, and the Father drew you. Okay? Here's the goal, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, in order that the world may believe that you did send me. Okay? Now think about this. Here's how he looks at you receiving the Holy Spirit. I have given them the glory that you have given me, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are one. See? That's how God looks at it. And he looks at it in what is called prophetic perfect, speaking in the present tense as if it's almost already done. Okay? I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected, and perfection is the process. Into one, that the world may know that you did send me and have loved them as you have loved me. So that's how we keep and understand the difference between lies and truth, honesty and deceit. And so let's use these words to fortify us spiritually for the coming week, because it's going to be dynamite. See you next time.